welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we look and we see uncertainty and concerns around us. Lord, guide us to stay in your will throughout all of the coming days and the years. In Jesus' name and amen. On occasion, I look at our monetary matters and the state of our society, and I get concerned. A week ago, I had one of those reminders that the events that are going on are going to continue, and so it just got my attention. So I questioned the things going on, just like you just might question what is going on also. I certainly do wish you understanding, because we can only imagine where our future is headed with the economy and the money and the great decline that seems to be in the process. So what should we do if that goes on? And it certainly looks as though it is, that an economic depression is coming our way. How would we prepare for such a thing? Well, always we rely on God and ask Him to guide and direct us. But if we have no ideas for what to do, we can always look to what other people would say, like the financial people. I listen to them a lot and get different ideas, and everybody does have a different idea. And I know I have seen that there would be a decline coming to our nation for a few years now, and I've talked about it. But it happens very slowly, and people get concerned at different times, and then there are people who don't even recognize that there is anything going on. But one day, it looks like it's going to hit us pretty hard. So I thought about this story that I made up about a person who was sitting right next to an anthill, a big anthill. And it does not take long for those little ants to begin biting. And then the person knows that it really is time to move. And that's the analogy that I was thinking of when I thought about what is coming to our land with the economic and monetary system. We keep getting the little bites from the little ants, and they bite us over and over, and pretty soon there are enough biting that we really have to give it our full attention right away. So when is the time to look at being too close to the anthill, to be aware of what's going on around us? Are we going to have the little bites, or are we going to get a great big bunch of bites? Well, I don't know. We all make our own decisions, but I do think that it is a good idea to look at what is coming our way and try to avoid the trouble. So we try to balance our understanding so that we can figure it out, whether we use a professional advisor or listen to the people on the radio who deal with finances and economics, or whether you just think about it and figure it out within your own thought. Well, that's ultimately what we all do. We think of what is on our understanding and act on it. So we think of what should we change in our own life to get through a hard time. The situations always change, and we know that if we do nothing, then we will be just as prepared for whatever comes as we are today. And for most of us, it is not very prepared. So think about it coming very quickly, and then make a decision about how you would think about and then act on the concerns of a declining economy. And we have examples in history for what has gone on in the past with the economies of the past. And I think of Solomon, who says in Ecclesiastes 15:9 that there is no thing new under the sun. So we know from examples in the past, whether it was from Babylon or Rome or any of the other countries around that we are familiar with, be it France or Germany or Russia, they have all had economic hardships that have caused the people great difficulty. And so many countries, then and now, have a form of a central bank that determines policy and what coinage or money is available. So we get to try to understand what themes are going on today and to try to think of what did they do in the olden times and what should we do today. The old days, the old times, are examples to us for us to gather understanding and then a determination of what to do. And we can also look at the Bible, and because the Bible has many things in it that talk about what people do with money or what conditions change or if there was a famine or plenty or whatever else it was. And so it's the same but different. And in the olden days, there were still people who carried all their money with them in probably a leather bag, a little pouch, and they had coins that were silver or gold, and that's how they carried them in their little leather pouch, whether they were a banker or just a regular person. And people, even though it was a more simple money system, people could still get credit from a money lender. They recorded their transactions just like, not just like we do today. We have ledgers and we have computers that can keep all the transactions. So it is not the same, but it is so very similar. Ultimately, what we look at is what is going on in the society or the country. We also look at what is available and if there are controls on the money or the people, or if there is fear going on among either the people or the bankers. All this makes a difference for what actions are taken to protect, the person or the banker. It's all a little bit different, and what the vast majority of the people are doing. There are different ways to look at it, but it is still quite similar. As I just said in Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun. So we try to investigate the past to try to understand what is wise to do in the future. Whether the future is a repeat, and it probably is, because we had Babylon, we had Rome, we had Germany, we had times in America. Similar things have happened over and over again. So we need to think about what we are going to do to protect ourselves from a money that is unstable, or from violence, or from a city that is just having troubles. Even a trouble within society. All these things will make a difference to how we consider to protect our assets. Sure, you could call it our money, or you could call it our home, but we all need to do a little something to protect what we have. I think one of the biggest things is to pay off any loans that we have. Because that, when we get into hard times and you still have a loan payment, it makes it difficult for everyone. And there's plenty of people who say, buy a couple of gold coins. Yeah, that is an answer and an idea. After all, I do think of all the elite people that are buying gold coins. And the central bankers are buying gold coins too, or gold bars. And you hear the reports. Now, in some countries, you cannot depend on them because Russia and China, they don't report what is going on within their country dependably. But we do know that all those countries, big like Russia and China, and little like Ireland or an African country, they are buying gold also. Sometimes they buy it by a ton of gold even. So that's what's going on with those central banks in other countries. So we have things that are going on in the countries that make things look uncertain, and we can consider what might happen. I mean, there's a lot of people who say another pandemic is going to happen. What do you think will be required? Will it be masks or will it be lockdowns? There is speculation about it, so we do look and see, well, if it happened again, what would we do? What would you do? And then we try to figure out what the best course is for protecting us, our family, even our community. There's always something we can do. A lot of people are saying buy food and a good water filter. Well, sure, I'll go with that, especially as prices are increasing. We want to have whatever things that we can have that will ease our way through a difficulty. And that includes food. Oh, it might include soap, or it might include something just plain basic like brake shoes or oil filters. All these things they're all good to have a few on hand. I always say for the just in case. So I'll look at those challenges and consider what you might need something for in the future. And it might be baby food, or it might be rice, or again, gasoline for your car, but that had to be stored with stabilizers. Well, there's only so many choices we have because we can't store electricity and we can only store so much water, but that is something we can always do. And we have choices in what we do. So look at your choices and see what you can do to protect yourself from the uncertain future. There have always been conflicts in the world, and they are still going on. Oh, the history books record lots of wars and lots of conflict. Some of them were religious wars. Oh, yeah. And that is something that still goes on today, but in a little bit different way. Political wars, sure. And we just don't quite know what we're going to see in our near future. But I think it's good to be prepared for some surprises. That's for sure. Get ready and look for what the future just might hold. I think of the future and I think of what is going on in banking. And I see that we could have a future, well, the Bible says we will, where we will not be able to buy or sell anymore. And that will sure be difficult for everyone. And you can look at the past history to see where things are going, because history, the themes repeat. So we pay attention to history. Now, the Christians also know what the Bible says, and so we are prepared in that way also. And I always think of getting the plain and basic food so that we don't actually starve if it comes to that. Now, there's plenty of people who think that God will provide. And I say, yes, God has provided. He has given you a mind to understand what the future might hold. And he has given you an ability to get things that you might need, including food. And then occasionally, there are people who say God has provided manna. Well, that's interesting. I can't doubt them because of the number of people who have made those statements, but also I cannot expect that we would have manna, at least not initially. Well, prepare for what? Always a question. Are you prepared to be persecuted? John says that we will suffer persecution just like our Lord suffered, or a similar way. There are twists and turns in life, and all the famous people of the Bible had surprises, and the modern day saints did too. I don't know, I think of Corrie ten Boom, and I think of the things she went through in an internment concentration camp. We just don't know what's coming, but we know what people want to do. There's plenty of talk about putting people into a medical isolation camp, which would be kind of like an internment camp. And there's people who say the economic reset that the World Economic Forum wants to see happen, well, that would change lives terrifically. And we have to give it a little thought so that we're not surprised if it ever does happen in our land and to us. So give that a little thought. See what you can do to prepare. As we serve God, we still want to keep our health and our wealth and our human relations. So that takes a little concern, a little planning, a little ability to do it. So yeah, pray, search it out, see what you can come up with to do. And we might not always have a comfortable bed to sleep in or a nice table to sit at, because if we look at the people in recent history or in Bible history, we know there's some pretty tough things that happen to people, and that's just the way it is. So what are some things that you can have to have with you so that you don't suffer in the way that some people in the Bible and in recent history did suffer? We have warnings, and they are so many. I know they talk about global warming, and that might be something because so many people are talking now about how hot it is in the summer. But if we did not have the heat, we would not have the crops growing either. So we thank the Lord for the heat and for the food that we have. Definitely, and that takes heat. So we get to figure it out. Well, we give thanks to the God, and we notice the people in the world who do not give thanks to God. And there's a few of them who think that they are so important that they need to be listened to and obeyed. As they go flying in their jet airplanes all around the world. Why? Because they're rich and they can buy those carbon credits that will allow them to pollute. But us regular people, we don't do so well at that. So it's a part of the system that we have to deal with. And here in America, we have some of those same actions going on with the regulations. And people will get along, the rich and the poor, not the same, but we still will live in the same sort of society, same country. Well, Congress passes laws that give different people different rights. And it just seems like the rich people have more rights than the poor people, and they can figure out how to get those rights. And all the while, some of our rights are deteriorating, like the right to speak and say things that maybe the government doesn't want you to say. We have laws for privacy and for saying things that are not inflammatory. So those laws we have, and some of them change a little bit, just like habeas corpus was a law that Congress removed with after the 9/11 event with the Patriot Act that weakened the habeas corpus law that has been in our country for a couple hundred years. Anyway, Americans get to figure out what to do now as we are facing deteriorating rights and privileges. We might not be able to have the same bank accounts that we had. We might not be able to have the same liberty. Well, there's the bureaucrats that want to make sure that we don't, because they want to tell we, the people, what to do. And they're kind of doing that pretty well. As we see the troubles or the wars around the world, we get more concerned, and so do the bureaucrats. And so do the people that want to harm the USA. Why, we hear about the hackers in Russia and the hackers in China that are now well into our computer programs and can cause things to turn off because of the hacking that they are doing. And our government is telling us that we may have to go without running water or have our electricity turn off. Now, they are confident that they can turn it on again, but remember the Colonial Pipeline on the east coast of the U.S.? They couldn't figure out how to turn that one back on, so we are not sure if our electricity goes out because of a hack or our water goes out. We're really not sure that we can turn it back on. And it's something that we can do a little bit to prepare with and prepare for by having extra things on hand, including water containers or a water filter if you need to go to a creek to get your water. It's just a reasonable thing to do when you look around and you see what's going on in our country and in the world. And I know there's plenty of people who say, don't worry, because your government will keep you safe. Well, how has that worked in the past? They have not been perfect about it. Our government has had problems. And so we should do what we can to protect ourselves. There is another thing that our government might want to have us locked down. They have allowed the World Health Organization through the United Nations to have some control over what happens if there is an epidemic. Well, really, it's a pandemic. If there is a pandemic declared, then they are saying that they will have authority maybe to have us wear masks, maybe to have us locked down in our homes. And nobody knows for how long. Will it be weeks or will it be months? So that's another reason to have some good long-term food. And I always think that grains and sugar are the easiest. And don't forget oil. You can have a variety of oil, and there are a number of good choices. But please have a look at it and see what you can do to prepare for that just-in-case unknown situation. That there are plenty of people, both private and government, who are warning us that we should be prepared to have an emergency happen in our neighborhood. So, read their information. That'll give you an idea what is expected. Maybe not soon, maybe eventually, or maybe soon. It's a big uncertainty, so I urge you to look at it and see what you can do to figure out what you would do in the just-in-case for what could be coming. That's one of the things we do. Now, we did not have so many things to be concerned about 100 years ago, but 100 years ago, people still had problems, and they still had a storage of food so that they could live through a hard time. And that's something I think would be good for every one of us. Especially if you look at what our government is doing. Oh, our government is preparing. they are buying all sorts of things. Now, I still can hardly believe the hundreds of weapons, whether it's rifles or handguns, they are buying hundreds of them, even full automatic firearms, rifles. And they are buying millions of bullets, rounds of ammunition, millions. So, you know what? I think it's millions they are spending on the ammunition, but it is thousands of rounds, tens of thousands. That's what it is. Well, there's something that we can all do to look at what just might be coming and try to figure this out. What simple steps we could do to just to have some basic provisions to help us get through a hard time. And you might remember that there were 87,000 new IRS agents, and maybe they have a reason for wanting so many IRS agents. To collect money from the people? Well, yeah, wouldn't surprise me. Well, the government is getting ready for something. And so with their wisdom, I think it's only good for us to try to understand what we can see and get ready for something. That makes me think of George Washington and his visions of America. It was called An Angel Vision that George Washington had while he was at Valley Forge. That's the basic name of the little booklet that there was. And different people tell you the story. In fact, you could look it up on your little computer or, you know, your smartphone, and it'll come up with the time that George Washington was in his tent and he'd given orders, "Do not disturb me." And what happened was an angel came in and said, "Son of the Revolution, son of the Republic, look and see." And so he had a vision of what the future held, and there were three wars that America would go through. One was expected to, or thought to be the American Revolution, and then there was the Civil War, and then a future war. That is how most people understand the George Washington vision. And in this future, a war that America has, there will be mortal combat all over America. You know, life and death combat, where the country is invaded from overseas by hordes of, well, people. And again, a life and death battle, which is mortal combat, and then many people were killed and much destruction happened. But slowly, after the demonic people left, they left America in their boats again, and the lights, I read this as the spiritual lights, like in churches and in homes, came on again, slowly, very slowly. But America did survive, and America did recover in a spiritual and a physical way. That's the George Washington vision for America. So I think it's a good thing to look up, to get something in your thinking that we will survive, and it's not going to be the same, and it's not going to be easy. But you look, you see. It's always good to get information. Believe it or not, just have a look and or listen to it. So nowadays what I see is we have some troubles with our economy and our representatives, the ones that we vote on, keep putting more and more debt upon we the people. And it is we, the people, that are obligated to pay it back. Yes, our government first, but ultimately it's we, the people. And now our nation has a $34 trillion national debt. If you think of million, billions, and trillions, it gives you an idea of how great that is by saying 1 million seconds equals 12 days. 1 billion seconds equals 32 years. And 1 trillion seconds equals 32,000 years. So our borrowing is huge. And we can only imagine how we are going to pay that back. But if the country goes bankrupt, the bankruptcy laws say that whoever holds the debt, in other words, those international bankers, will be able to reclaim the whatever the assets are. And typically the assets are the real estate and, well, really the people too. So would the mortgage holder put the people into bondage? It's possible. But this is one of those things we just can only guess about, and we know we want to keep our freedom, and we have to figure out how we could even do that. The bankruptcy laws are quite settled, and so we would have to figure out what we would do as a free people to preserve our freedom. Not easy. And maybe it would require a great big struggle for the whole country. After all, $34 trillion is a whole lot of dollar bills that are going to be more and more useless as inflation comes our way. There are different people who put this into a perspective about how much each one of us owes. And the different people have a great big difference in how they describe what the United States citizen owes. And there's a question of if they count every citizen and every baby and every 90-year-old, or if they just count the taxpayers. And they search out the information to tell you what they want you to hear and know. And it's different all over the place. I mean, for instance, this was National Public Radio. They said $17,000 per person. And then there was a economic guy who said it was $100,000 per taxpayer. Well, different people have a different way of saying it so that they make their point understood, whether it's a lot or a little. But just realize that we do have a great big huge national debt, and somehow it will have to get paid. And I don't know how, but lots of people have different ideas, including the various commentators. But do know that it's a lot. I mean, even if it is only $17,000 per person, not too many people have $17,000 in the bank to pay that. So you better have an idea of really what you're generally talking about and what the national debt figures are and how you calculate it. Different ways for different people with a different something that they want to have spoken or heard. Well, look at it and get it done correctly. I'm not sure our vote even matters anymore as to what we would vote for an answer to our monetary problems. I remember back in the 60s reading in the newspapers, the Oakland Tribune, in fact, about how our votes were changed and counted incorrectly. And again, that happened in the 1990s. And then everybody seems to know about the 2020 presidential election and the vote that was done with that, Was the vote tampered? Sure looks like it, but obviously it was not easy to prove because many of the records are not kept. And it's a great big question and ultimately a problem. But there are surprises that we do have, and I'm sure we will continue to have surprises as we try to understand what the long-term effect of all this will be with the economy and, well, the people. And that includes our soldiers. What will our soldiers do? There's a lot of people who think that we ultimately are going to have the military take over the United States because the politicians are so corrupt. So I can't say I believe that, but I sure know it's possible, and it has happened in many countries around the world where the military takes over the civilian government temporarily. Well, sometimes it's temporarily, and sometimes it goes on and on. Now, I don't know what I think about that, but I know that it is a historical fact about what happens. And somehow, we have to look at what could happen in our country. All these things can happen. And we have to have an idea for what we want to see happen, and then really try to understand what will happen. And then what do we do about it to maintain our freedom and even our prosperity? Let's keep our assets. Let's have a place to live. Let's try to do all these things, because whatever problems we see, I'm sure there are other ones that we don't see coming our way. You know, whether it's money problems or Federal Reserve problems, government problems, work problems, health problems, they all happen. And we get to have a little bit of a plan to help us to get through a time of difficulty. And that's a really good reason to have long-term food supplies for just in case. Now, these days, we have seen the Federal Reserve printing billions of dollars, many billions. One estimate I saw said they have printed over $1 trillion to keep the economy going. Well, it's pretty hard to find out the truth of those numbers, because they often say it in a way which you can understand that that's what they mean, but they don't come right out and say it. So we are left with the question of how big is our national debt? And the big thing that we can learn about that, in my view, is that it is very big. And we need to do what we can do to survive financially and physically for whatever is coming our way. I have even heard plenty of people say that we are going to see things start to crash this year. Well, I can see where it would happen, but I can't say that I would believe it. However, I know that it can happen because I've studied the other countries, and I've seen that the conditions are similar in other countries that have failed and in the United States. Just think of the countries. They're all over the world, from Uruguay and Argentina to the Soviet Union. And look at the problems China is having. China might not survive this next couple of years, anyway, not healthy, because they have overextended themselves also, and they are borrowing a lot of money for China. Well, we have years of banking principles, and we can see what is obvious, and it is obvious to me that we as a nation and we as a world are in big trouble. And when you see the banks that have gone bankrupt, that's another sign of trouble. You know, earlier this year, Signature Bank was one. The First Republic Bank was another. let's see, Silicon Valley Bank, and now the Federal Reserve, along with the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, are talking about how they can restructure banks to absorb the bankrupt banks that I just named into the new system of banking. We can see where it might happen that having one single bank would change how money was used in the country. And if you only have a couple of banks actually working and having customers, it is easier to force a beast system on the country than if you have 300 banks. But no, there are fewer and fewer banks now. I think there were 260 or 80 banks that were in trouble, in trouble for going bankrupt this year. So my point is just that the banking system is really quite precarious, and if there are rules and regulations from the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, or the Federal Reserve, we can only guess what would happen and how fast it would come about. But yeah, somebody has a plan, and that plan is to put a beast system into effect across the whole world, and of course that includes the United States. So what are we going to do about it? Oh, you know, another part of that is we all have needs every month. We have groceries and gasoline and clothes and different expenses that we each one of us have. And I think of a system that wants to control all of our cash, all of our currency, all of our checks, and it's something that is actually getting started right now. When you look at the people that are having retinal identification, where they are identified by their eye, or you think of the things going on with banks. Well, here's an interesting one. You know, there's the FedNow coin put out by the Federal Reserve, and a part of that is happening right now is the banks want to have a way of using that exclusively and therefore not accepting cash. That's right. They won't accept cash and they won't pay you in cash. That's something that's going on right now with the banks. And so that pushes the way for a petrodollar system, well, for a crypto dollar system, and that is also a part of the international banking where the petrodollar is used as a way of exchange. And one of the things about the petrodollar is that the countries, central banks, no longer have to store dollars, because in the old days, all oil transactions had to be done with dollars, which made it a petrodollar. But now, the countries with oil, including Saudi Arabia and Russia, are saying that they will accept any currency to do an oil transaction. And that means our U.S. dollar will lose its value for doing those transactions. Then what happens is all the countries, central banks that have the dollars in their, call it their safe room, they don't need them anymore, and they will be shipping those dollars back to the United States for whatever cash or credit that they can get. And what are we going to do with all those millions or even billions of dollars that come back into the United States? Well, there will be too many dollars, and that will lead to inflation. That's the kind of thing that can go on to destabilize, yes, our economy, yes, our dollar, and yes, our country. And that's something that is working its way into our system increasingly and gradually and sort of right quick, because that is a part of the FedNow transactions that the banks are having to agree to, and you are going to have to agree to have that also if you have an account at that bank. It's going on right now. And every person seems to have a different idea about what will happen, but you can be pretty sure that it's going to cripple our freedom, and we will not have the freedom of money anymore. We might not have the freedom of even criticizing the government anymore. That was a lady on 60 Minutes Australia. She was critical of the government, and a week after she broadcast whatever that story was, the bank where she had been banking for 15 years said that her account was closed. So what are you going to do to get another banking account? How are we going to live without a banking account? It's something to be considering, especially when the banks are not wanting to deal with cash anymore. I mean, if we go to the store and the store doesn't want our cash because they can't deposit it, well, we've got something going on. And it would be trouble, trouble, trouble. All in the midst of the inflation that is undoubtedly coming. And speaking of inflation, if we only have 4% inflation, the prices that we pay for things double in something like 15 years. And if you double that to 8% inflation, which is what our government says we have, then you can cut that in half, about 8 years, for the prices that we pay, in effect, to double. And there's a lot of people that say that our inflation rate is actually over 16%. Well, listen and learn and see what you think it is. But if that's what it is, then we're looking at like 5, maybe 4 years that our prices will double. And that makes savings very difficult because we're just spending all our money on our monthly needs. And that's an example of what inflation does. There's another example I have of what inflation does, because I have this copy of a 1946 newspaper advertisement for a Purity brand grocery store. And they were selling eggs for 10 cents a dozen, apples for 6 cents a pound, a quart of mayonnaise for 33 cents, chocolate bars, 3 for 10 cents. So you can look at that and you can say, wow, everything was really cheap back then, right? Well, the other way that you could say it was, that's what the prices were, but the average family in the U.S. earned $2,800 a year. $2,800 a year. So you can see that with all the expenses they had and the savings, that low price for food was just appropriate. Appropriate. So that's what we deal with when we have inflation that is out of hand. It sounds like such a cheap thing to look back to 1946 and say, eggs, 10 cents a dozen, apples, 6 cents a pound, mayonnaise, 33 cents for a quart, chocolate bars, 3 for 10 cents. Cheap, cheap, cheap. Well, not when you consider the average salary in the U.S. was $2,800 a year. So that's what happens with inflation. Everything goes up, and savings does not go very far. And that's something which happens over and over in history. So how are we going to do this? Probably history is going to repeat, and the same thing will happen again in another few years. It does not take long when inflation sets in, and if it turns into hyperinflation, we are all really in trouble. Great big trouble. But you have to have a look and see what you should do and what you should save, have on hand for just in case, so you can actually have savings. That's what needs to happen. So let's see, it's been about 3 years. I think it was 3 years ago, right close, that I talked about the money fund managers of some large money funds. And they said they expected in a year or two, within 2 years, that we would have a crash in this country. Now, obviously, that one didn't happen, or at least it didn't happen like they thought it would. But the signs of a downturning economy are still everywhere. They're the same signs. It's just that the crash hasn't come the way they expected it. But it still could happen because the indicators are still right there in front of our eyes. We could see a crash coming any time, and that means we need to prepare for the just in case. And so many people cannot understand why we need to get prepared. Why, do you think the government is going to take care of you? Oh, lots of luck with that one. And your savings won't go as far because of the inflation. So we have things that we have to be aware of how good savings are, perhaps with long-term food, perhaps with something else. And the other thing we can do is search out God and have that relation with Jesus so that we are insured of eternal life in heaven and not hell. So that's something else we can do to give us comfort for the future. And we want to be born again and then live like we are indeed born again. Well, government is having all sorts of problems come up, and we see people that are really, they sure look like they're without morals. And so we get to see, are these the people we are going to trust our lives to and our economy to? Are we going to ask the people at the upper levels of our government to take care of us when they have lied as much as they have, lied, stealed, and cheated? Well, we really can't say that they have lied, stealed, and cheated. I don't mean I do, but I mean the evidence looks like they have. So what are we going to do? Trust them to take care of us? Or are we going to do a few things that we can do so that we can take care of ourselves and the people who we love around us? Well, we have all sorts of things to weaken our country right now. And thinking of the millions of undocumented aliens that are coming into our country, both across the northern and the southern border. Yeah, the southern ones, the one that we all pay attention to, and for good reason, because millions of people have. The exact numbers are unknown. The estimates were at one time 5 million, another time 11 million, another time 16 million. People have come across our southern border and are now living in the United States, and many of them are receiving government money. How are we going to deal with all this expense? Won't be easy. And our government has a way of ignoring states' rights and saying that the federal can rule over the states. Now, this is always a question of how much freedom do we have, and are our freedoms guaranteed by the states or by the federal government? Oh, yes, it's a big question. I don't mean I have the answer. I just mean things are going really difficult in America, especially the way things are going to go with the expenses that we are having in supporting other governments around the world, including Ukraine, and the all the money we're sending there with actually cash and also with equipment and military goods. So we do want to America to stay free, and we better look at how we can keep America free and not bound up by the conditions that our federal government is putting upon us, and including having children that can have a sex change operation without the parents' knowledge or approval. Oh, and the military is allowing sex change operations there too. It's just a matter of what are we going to do in our country to maintain freedom and to have a real voice that we are allowed to speak and not be quieted if we say something that the government doesn't believe is the truth. And that's something going on right now. Let's realize that we want to establish a godly government with Jesus Christ as a center point, maybe not the center, but right in the middle, so that we can have a moral people that is upholding God's moral law and character. So that's something we are facing right now. Look at how you can do things prayerfully and realize that we are a good and honorable nation in Jesus Christ. I want to thank you for listening to Christ Today, and remember, you can listen again to any broadcast at www.christtoday.org and look for the one that says with John Stephenson. We have a lot of things going on in our country, and we want to have Jesus at the center of our righteous government and our righteous life, each one of us personally. Well, God bless each one of you. Thank you.
Christ Today is a listener-supported ministry. Send your checks or donations to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Again, that's John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927.